I'm going to get into this. The name of this message is Keep Your Head on a Swivel. Keeping your head on a swivel is a term they use in football. I played defensive end when I played football, and one of the things we would do throughout the week is we would study our opponent. We would look for little things the offense were doing, and not necessarily plays. It might be a certain way the offensive lineman was standing that signified that, oh, that's going to be a pass play. Or you're watching the body language of the running back. If he's walking over like this, oh, he's not getting the ball, but if he's hurrying up, it was going to be a running play. And it was things like that the defensive coach will always say, look for it. And he, during the game, keep your head on the swivel. Look for the surprises. I play defensive end, so my sign was just go get the quarterback. But sometimes they would like to trip you up with reverses. Oh, man, I hated that. I hated that, man. Because I'm like, oops. You know? Get back to the line, sideline. Coach is like, I told you. But they do that in the NFL. You hear about them studying hours and hours of film. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for certain things that the offense might do or the quarterback might do before he calls a play or runs the play. Mike Singletary, one of the greatest linebackers of all time. He was a great linebacker, not because of his physical talent, but because what he did off the field, studying his opponent over and over again. And then he would get out there and be like, oh, I see that coming. I told you I see that coming. And he'd be like, man, it's like this guy's in our playbook. I grew up watching the 85 Bears and all the teams, so I really enjoyed watching him play. That's what keeping your head on a swivel is. God said this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm going to read it again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many know that wiles in the Greek actually means methodonia? And it's where we get the word method. And it means this. This is actually what it means. It's kind of cool what it actually means. Following or pursuing of an ordinary technical procedure in the handling of a subject. I'm going to say it again. Following or pursuing of an orderly and a technical procedure in the handling of a subject. Who tries to make us his subjects? The devil. And think about it. How many of y'all heard that term, don't subject yourself to that? God doesn't want us to subject himself to what the devil's trying to do. Amen? And it says, you know, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Another word in there that the Lord had me look up was strong. And I like what this means in the Greek. It actually means to strengthen, to make strong, vigorous, and empower. I'm going to say what it means again. In the Greek, it means this, to strengthen, to make strong, vigorous, and power. So we are to be strengthened, we are to be vigorous, and we are to be empowered and made strong in what? God's might, right? Come on, say again. God said that. We just got to read it. I read it three times. God's might, right? Are we sure? It don't say your wife's might, does it? Whose might? It don't say your husband's might, does it? What does it say? Does it say your might? What does it say? God's might, his might. Does it say the church board's might? It says God's might, amen? Does it say Pastor Kane's might? Does it say Pastor Anthony's might? Any pastor's might? Whose might? God's might. Whose might? All right, we got that established. We got that established because Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10, verses 19. Luke chapter 10, verses 19. He said this, behold, I give you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going to read it again. Behold, I give you the authority to trample over serpents and scorpions, and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. He's given us the authority over the enemy. He's given us that. But sometimes we don't exercise it enough. I think in the body of Christ, we don't. Come in here sometimes like a dog with his tail between his legs. I'm like, man, y'all, it's crazy. Trips me out sometimes. And I'm not going to say I haven't been there. There's been times I've been there. The Lord has to tap me on the shoulder and remind me, like, Anthony, you a child of God. Take authority over this. You don't got to put up with this. We don't have to put up with nothing from the enemy. We choose to. We choose to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 says this: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in who? God, for the pulling down the strongholds. I'm going to read it again. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds. That's something we need to tap more into. That's why that term, keeping your head on the swivel. How do you keep your head on the swivel? One of the ways is this. You must stay in a constant state of repentance. Amen. Pastor Kane just talked about that. Trust me out how you got believers think you can have all the world and all of God. It don't work. It's like oil and water. And then you mentioned repentance. There's a couple of words in church. They get treated like four-letter words. Repentance, fornication, and sanctification. They get treated like the four-letter words in church. Oh, you can't say that, preacher. Nobody wants to talk about repentance. But that's what you need. I was discipling a young man for a couple years, man, and I finally had to tell him, I said, dude, you need to repent. That's all it is to it. Stop coming whining to me. Repent. That's another thing I'll be trying to share with people, too. If people come say, hey, man, I feel God has want you to disciple me. I'm like, if I disciple you, man, you better get ready because I'm going to cut you. I don't play around. I will cut you because I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not one of the ministers I'm going to tiptoe. No, I'm going to tell you. If you're doing something ain't right and it's contrary to God, I'm going to tell you. You fornicating? I'm going to tell you. You lying? I'm going to tell you. That's how you make disciples of men. Not mentoring, disciples. The Bible says disciples, not mentor. Disciples. I don't mentor nobody. I disciple them. And I always tell them, hey, man, hey, you, okay, I'm going to cut you. Just so you know. Because the Lord cut me up a lot. There's times that my brothers in the Lord had cut me up. But I'm glad they did. Because it helped me draw closer to him. It helped me repent of some things. It helped me get nearer to him. In other words, like I said, sanctification. You don't hear that a lot in church. Everybody just, oh, tea and crumpets. They're more worried about how many flavors of coffee you got. They're worried about getting their lives right before God. It drives me nuts. It drives me crazy. I'm like, dude, oh, they got some good coffee there. What did you learn today? Nothing. The coffee was good, though. Okay. And then you tell them something that's in God's word, and they look at you crazy. Well, that's not what my pastor said. Of course not. He's not telling you that. Because you're worried about the coffee flavor. Another thing we must do to keep our head on the swivel is stay in constant prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. How many of us baptized with the Holy Ghost in here? Come on, raise your hands. Now you can pray without ceasing. I do it all day. You can ask my wife. Work, home, sleep, toilet, it don't matter. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping myself stirred up. One thing my dad told me when he was talking to me, when he said, man, keep yourself stirred up. Didn't Paul tell Timothy that? Timothy suffered from anxiety. He said, stir up that gift. Keep it stirred up. That's another way how you keep your head on the swivel. Stay in that constant communication with God. You stay in that constant communication when he's warning you what's coming. And if it comes, it don't matter. God's right there. He's really trying to do this to me, Lord? You know? Another one is just as important, and that's staying in God's word. You know, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 says, meditate on God's word. I think that's a lost art, too. God preaches and pastors don't even spend time in the word. How can you call yourself a preacher if you ain't going to spend time in the word? Who are you teaching? Who are you teaching? That tells me your church is full of goats. I don't want no goats. I want some sheep. Man, please. Come on, man. But that is what we must do. We must keep our head on a swivel because we have an enemy. We have an enemy who is a tempter. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 3, it says this. Now, when the tempter had came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. He's always trying to tempt us out of God's will. He's been doing that since the beginning. You ever notice that? He first see a lie to you about this a little bit here and there, and next thing you know, you believe in that. That's why sometimes we got to put down that stinking thinking and see, go back to what the Word of God says. I don't care what you're thinking up here. What does God's Word declares and what it says? That's what we got to get back to. Stop giving the enemy a foothold in our mind. Don't the Bible say transform your mind? What was that, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? Transform your mind. Can't transform your mind if you're constantly in front of the TV. Don't get wrong, I watch TV too. I'm a big NASCAR fan. Sit there, have sleep for 3 hours every Sunday. Drive my wife crazy because I won't turn it off until I know who won. But hey, there are sometimes God is saying, turn that TV off. Come spend time with me and my word. Amen. Another thing, we have an enemy who is seducing people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. How many of us can testify we're seeing that right now? Yeah, seducing. It's not sexual, dude. It's trying to draw you away from the truth. I was listening, it was a while ago, this one minister was on YouTube. He was talking about there ain't no hell. I'm like, really? He got a congregation of people that are following him, and he's telling them there ain't no hell. And Jesus talked about hell more than anything. I've been scratching my head. Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. Another thing I see a lot of too, because when I got saved, a lot of the stuff that God started teaching me, he started to teach me about paganism and all that. I see a lot of that junk in church too. It's like, what? There are certain things we shouldn't do. You shouldn't even touch it. You know what I'm saying? Then God said, don't mess with the tree. He said, don't touch it. There's certain things that we shouldn't be touching. Doctrines of demons. But that's why we must keep our head on the swivel. Amen. We have an enemy who's an accuser. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says this. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God is in the power of our Christ who come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. The devil tries to accuse us all the time. Hey, and Jesus said, the blood, the blood. Oh, he's trying to accuse us. Isn't it obvious we got an enemy who hates us, right? That's why it always baffles my mind. Why do we talk about the devil more than we talk about God? We have an enemy who's the deceiver. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says this. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they were tormented day and night forever. He's a deceiver. He is the deceiver. And you notice there's always a little lie he started with. Well, then next thing you know, it grows to something else and grows to something else. And next thing you know, you got some of that stinking thinking going on. A lot of times, all you do is say, hey, is that what you meant by that? No, talk it out. Half the arguments we ever had with our spouses would cease. Just ask. Instead of letting that enemy plant that in there, you start letting it boil. What happens if you let water boil? It starts getting hot. The next thing you know, boiling over, whatever. And then you're boiling over. Oh, man, come on. Sometimes you just need to take a step back and say, wait a minute, where is this coming from? This is coming from the pit of hell. My husband is not my enemy. My wife's not my enemy. I choose not to even go there. Amen? We have an enemy who's a deceiver. We have an enemy who poses as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 14. For such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. It cracks me up. This is something I learned studying paganism. Anytime they say illuminated one, they're talking about the devil. Anytime they say enlightened one, nine times in, they're talking about the devil. Jesus ain't enlightened. He's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. He's not enlightened or illuminated. He's the light of the world. Lit. don't got to be lit. Don't got to transform itself. Don't have to transform itself. So sometimes I'm watching TV shows and I see that and I'm like, yep, these mugs, they think they're talking about God. We're talking about the light of God. No, you're not. You're talking about the devil. But see, that's what the enemy does. He plants subliminal messages in people's lives before they know it. They're being deceived because we just got done saying that he's a deceiver. Amen. We have our enemy who is a murderer and the father of lies. In John chapter 8, verses 44, it says this. You are the father of the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resourcer, for he is a liar and the father of it. This is one of the ones that drives me crazy about the enemy. He's a murderer and the father of lies. I am pro-life. I'll be pro-life until I go to my grave. Because in Proverbs 6:17, it says, seven things God hates, the shedding of innocent blood. It drives me crazy when I turn on the TV and you got all these people trying to justify killing the child. Doctrines of devils, seducing spirits, murderer, father of lies. That's messed up. I heard this one minister say, he was talking about judgment. He said, judgment in America ain't about the homosexuals, the lesbians, or anything about that. It's about abortion. You ever heard a bill collector say, hey, it's time to pony up? America's going to have to pony up for over 50 million babies being killed. I'm just glad I'm on God's side. Because that's wrong. It's dead wrong. And you get these people out here, well, it's the woman's body. Well, praise God, your mom didn't abort you. Praise God, your mom didn't get rid of you. How are you going to justify it's a woman's body? That's a contradiction, you hypocrite. We have an enemy who oppresses us, Acts chapter 10, verses 38. We also have an enemy who torments us, Matthew 8 and 6. That's why we must keep our head on a swivel. We must keep our head on a swivel. And think about this. It's crazy how the enemy tries to flood our life with all this stuff we just said. That was just a handful of them. It's a lot more things he does, but I really don't care because my God is greater. I just wanted to drive a point. The enemy comes and he floods us with all this stuff. But what does the word of God say in Isaiah chapter 59:19? They shall feel the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising sun. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a standard against it. We have the greatest standard in the world. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God Almighty. That's why I get sick and tired of hearing about what the enemy does. Jesus Christ. We have a Savior. Savior of the whole world. He saved us from our sins. Saved us from bondage. Luke chapter 1 verse 14. I'm not going to read it. We have a deliverer. Who's been delivered in this place? I've been delivered from sex, drugs, alcohol. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I've been delivered because God is my standard. Jesus Christ is my standard. Hallelujah. I'm a brag on him. Hallelujah. We have Jesus Christ who is the giver of life. He gives life. Doesn't take life away. Gives us life. Hallelujah. He is the living water. How many of y'all like that? John chapter 4 verses 10. I'm not going to read it. This is one of my favorite ones right here. We have a great shepherd. Hallelujah. Praise God that we have a shepherd of our souls. Praise God. We have an advocate. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 2, we're not going to read it, but he's our advocate. This is another one I love about Jesus Christ and God. He is faithful and true. How many of you know God is faithful? How many of y'all have seen God just do something faithful in your life day after day after day after day? That's one thing I love about God. Even with times when we miss it, he's still faithful. He still chooses to love on us and bless us. He still chooses to look out for us. Hallelujah. Another one is this one. We have a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6. We have a redeemer. Anybody been redeemed in here? Praise God for that cross. Redeemed from the curse of the law. How many of you ever looked at the Ten Commandments and said, man, there's no way I could have lived by those. There was no way. And it was just 10. I looked at them after I first got saved. I was like, man, there's no way. Praise you, God. Thank you. Thank you. You provided a way. through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5. He is our ransom. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. He is the light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light of the world. We just got done talking about that. John chapter 9, verses 5. This is another one I love about Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Man, that is beautiful. Our faith begins with him and ends with him. Man, how precious is that? Honestly, how precious is that when you think about it? Step back and really think about how precious that is. And last but not least, he is the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. So we have no reason to sit up in here, come over here every Sunday, Wednesday, talking about what the devil is doing. Can I be honest with you? Don't come tell me. Go tell somebody else. If you come to me and say, I got a testimony, I want to hear it. I don't care what the devil's doing. If you're doing the same stuff over and over again, over and over again. It cracks me up. I've seen this. Well, Pastor, the devil's been riding my back all week. What business does he have on your back? He has no business riding your back, riding your side. He has no business. You are a child of God. Only reason why he up on your back because you allow him to be there. I got a bad back. He can't get on mine. Nope. Have no business being there. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says this. Having wiped out the handwriting and requirements that was against us, which is contrary to us, have taken it out of the way, having nailed to the cross. Praise God. Having disarmed principalities, powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing. You know what he did, basically, in layman's terms? He made fun of them. Sometimes you just got to laugh at the enemy. Recognize where it's coming from and laugh at him. Like, dude, you're going to have to do better than that. Lawrence Taylor used to say that all the time when he played football. He used to say, son, y'all going to have to do better than that. Sometimes you need to tell the devil, hey, you're going to have to do better than that. Every day you got to tell him that. In Psalm 118, verse 24, I wake up to this psalm every day. I wake up to this Lord and I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice through every trial, through every temptation, through anything that goes on. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad through all situations throughout the day. And I sucker punch the devil in his mouth. Anybody seen any of the Marvel movies with Captain America standing there and he's saying, I can do this all day. That's what we got to do. You got to stand there and say, hey, devil, I can do this all day. Because you got God Almighty, the power of the cross, the power of the Holy Spirit, and you stand. And whose might? God's might. You stand there. Eventually, he'll what? The Bible says he'll flee, he'll run. Sometimes that's all we need to do. Stand up to him. So you don't need to call the pastor up. Stand. You married? Tell you what, hey, man, I'm standing right now. Be in agreement with me. That's all we got to do. Stop giving all this credence and decrees and whatever it is to the devil. Stop. We're children of God, so please stop. Let's glorify him in all that we do and everything we say. Let him get the glory. And the devil wants to try to come show off and show out. Just got to remind him of that cross. Got to remind him of the cross. My Lord and Savior whipped your butt 2,000 years ago. You don't got nothing to do with me. I am a child of God. What you going to do? You ain't going to do nothing to me that you ain't been trying to do to me for the last 20 years. Nothing. So what's the difference that they going to make? Nothing. Amen? I'm going to close with that. Praise God. How many champions of Christ we got in here? Raise your hand. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Father in prayer. We just thank you, Father God, for this time. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you, Father God, you use this time to remind us who we are in you and who you are in us. We don't have to walk around with defeating lives. We don't have to walk around with depression. We don't have to walk around with anxiety. We don't got to walk around being addicted to anything but nothing but you, nothing but Jesus, because of what you did on the cross. Hallelujah. We know we have an enemy who is out for our souls and who hates us, but God, you raise a standard up. Hallelujah. You raise a standard up every time. And may we always stand, doing everything we can do to stand in the evil, the dark, perverse world. And glorify your holy name as we're doing it. And we thank you. Oh, Father God, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray the rest of the week we be, just be blessed, and you just use this to remind us of who we are in you. Use this to remind us, Father God. We know there's going to be some tests. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some things that may come. But, Father God, we are going to stand because we have your word. Hallelujah. We thank you. Give you all the glory and honor right now. In Jesus' name, amen.